So in this last part of the two-day retreat, we'll talk about daily life practice, and we'll talk about it briefly in two ways. First, some general ways how to remember, how to have deepening of daily life practice, and then secondly, very specifically for what we did during these 2 days. Okay? And so again, I'll say, if you want to go to the Dharma Seed website, I have some series of talks on daily life practice. I think I gave one series just in April and May, and then one also April and May, I think 2014. And so I've done some series which give a lot of different tools. I remember one of the talks I gave just maybe 1 month ago, maybe or 6 weeks ago, was on 50 ways of developing daily life practice. So I lost 10. So I don't know. And I mentioned them, and I just invited people to say what are the one or two which you would like to follow. So I'll just mention, I'll do something like that now. I'll mention a few things that can be helpful, that I found helpful, and you can also listen to the talk, and maybe I'll leave this article. I could also send this, because I have this as a PDF file. I think I can send this to you. I'll try to remember. This is a summary of this article. So we start typically with a daily formal practice. 20-30 minutes, more if you can, is for most people, that's the starting point, right? To have some way of having a daily practice where you do 20 or 30 minutes and you it could be doing some of the practices we've done. I would suggest first just to stabilize with the breath, to have the mind be a little more quiet. Then you can do some mindfulness practice. Then maybe you do, if you have half an hour, maybe you do 10 minutes to stabilize. Maybe you do 10 minutes with mindfulness practice, or and bringing in maybe something on impermanence, whatever you like, and then maybe 10 minutes metta. That would be very good 30 minutes, right? And so and hopefully, you know, then that doesn't work for everyone. People are very individual, so you want to find what works for you. You know, some people, the formal practice really works. Some people, they find that it's a little bit better to have it be just in the flow of life. So for some people, it works well just to maybe do more walking meditation at normal speed around, or to, you know, there are a lot of possibilities. So, but we start with having some formal practice where you set aside some time is very, very crucial for most people. Okay? Doing periodic retreats like this, very helpful as well, because you get a training, you do a little more practice, and you get teachings, maybe you get better understanding, and so forth. And then finding ways to bring some of the teachings into daily life, like with something like we look at with reactivity, you can really do that all the time you want. You can say, I want to look out for reactivity when I'm at work, you know, with a partner, you know, watching television, watching the news, you know, whatever. And I will really try to work with reactivity. And that, you can, if you have that can, when you start to have the meditation be more than 20 minutes a day, start to have it in your ordinary life, things can accelerate, things can get stronger. One way of practicing also is to particularly look out when there are maybe some difficult experiences, and try to have your difficult experiences be a starting point for practice, like with reactivity. And that's a little more advanced, but if you take challenging situations as opportunities for practice, you will find that things will accelerate. You know, because we're no longer, because the old model is like shooting the second arrow, right? The old model is something difficult happens, I go to my old habits, right? Now you're doing something different, so things can really accelerate. One way that I practice, I'll mention two things that I do personally. I take something like a Sabbath or Shabbat once a week. I think I talked about that, didn't I?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I do it for most of the day once a week. You know, my Shabbat is on Wednesday. It's a new tradition. You know, because I go to teach, and then I just stay at the retreat center with, you know, beautiful forest and mountains. I just stay there the rest of the day. And it's like being on retreat once a week, you know, for several hours. Some people, they don't do a whole day. They do 3 hours every week. And that's maybe a little bit more like here. Maybe you do some reading, you do some meditation, some sitting, some walking. If you do 3 hours once a week, and if you can, the same day, this will have a big impact on your practice. You know? And it doesn't have to be too tight. Again, you can do sitting, take a walk. I used to do go in the forest, or, you know, and just do some sitting, do some walking in the forest, and so forth. So you can do 3 hours. And you can, you know, just do it in a way that works for you. Another way to practice that I do a lot is to find little 5 or 10 minute periods where you can be mindful. And so you have many of them during the day. And this can really also have a big change. So it's no longer just 20 minutes. But so, for example, a few things I do. I try if I'm having a meal by myself, I try to have the meal in silence. And maybe, you know, sometimes people like to have meals by yourself. You like to, whatever, read the newspaper or do something like that. But you take the meal in silence and you do mindfulness practice. Or you do metta for 10 or 15 minutes during the meal. And you do that every day, and you've added another time. Or another thing I do, I have to do some knee exercises where I put pressure on my knee. It takes about 10 minutes. I turn it into a practice session. And I do it almost every day. There I have 10 minutes that I'm being mindful, right? Or doing whatever practice I'm doing. You can find little things like that. I actually, you know, when I do one-on-one work with people. A lot of the times when I'm at home, in the afternoons on weekdays, maybe from 2 to 5, I see 2 or 3 people for an hour each. And we start out our session with 10 minutes of meditation. So you see, you add all these together, and so some days I'm doing 5 or 6 10-minute periods a day. I'm not saying that you do 10 or 5 or 6, but I'm saying see if you can find 1 or 2. Another thing is maybe you just, after lunch, you take a 10-minute walk and you do it with mindfulness, right? Something small like that, you know, that you can do. If you start doing maybe, you know, just 1 or 2 of these in addition to the 20 minutes or 30 minutes, it starts making a big difference, right? You know, for some people, if you're in a helping profession like nurse or doctor, teacher, psychologist or something, you can bring your practice into what you do. And, you know, I have, you know, one person who's a nurse, and she does metta with her patients most of the day. Right? And a lot of people do something like that, because some of the, you know, it's just like you can do that with some professions. Some, if you're on the computer, it's harder. If your work is at the computer, it's more difficult. You know, I find computer the hardest thing for mindfulness. You know, I think that is one of the main challenges of Western practice. What do you do on the computer? Yeah, the Buddha did not have a lot of teaching about the computer. So, let's see. Some other things. Community. It makes a big difference to come once a week or more to a community, be with people who also practice, makes a big difference. It's hard to do it just on your own. Right? So find a community, or maybe you find a friend. I know people who email or text each other about how their practice is doing. You know, they're maybe you have them here, but I know in the U.S. you have some elaborate networks, you know, where you have groups of people who are texting each other all the time their practice. When I just did my 30 minutes.
It's like AAA.
Huh?
It's almost like AAA.
Yeah. Well, so you have these support networks. Well, you could see what works. Maybe you have, maybe you just look for one person. You know, I have people I know who maybe they talk about their practice on the telephone once a week. You know, things like this, community plays a very big role to not feel like you're isolated. That plays a very big role. Doing some reading, some listening to talks can be very helpful for understanding. You know, as you deepen in practice, there are other things. I think I teach a lot on speech practice, which I'm not really doing here in Israel. I do a little bit of that at this last retreat. That's what we call engaged retreat. But I teach 7-day retreats on speech practice, and I'm doing one. If you want to come to California, doing one in August.
In spiritual?
No, it's actually not. It's in Berkeley. It's one we organize ourselves. Yeah, I do it often at Spirit Rock, but this is just in Berkeley, so it's much cheaper. Very good. And speech practice is very important because I teach ways of actually trying to develop awareness during speech. So, you know, sometimes we think, oh, I can only meditate when I'm quiet. I can only meditate when I'm sitting on a cushion. Sometimes that's important at first, just to have some training where it's not too complicated. Eventually, you bring all of this into life, into ordinary life. And you can do, if you can train in speech practice, all of a sudden, guess what? You have 5 or 10 hours a day of dedicated practice. Right? And you don't complain, oh, it's hard to get 20 minutes, right? If you have your practice be speech practice, some of you have 10 hours a day. And if you add, you know, email practice.
It's not one of the four postures that
what?
The Buddha was talking about.
Yeah.
Like he said, standing, walking, sleeping, and lying.
Yeah. Yeah, and he had a lot of... So, again, I'm mentioning all these things. Just see the one or two which you want to say, oh, I want to do those now. That's the best thing. Okay? So I've mentioned probably 10 or 15 different ways. And again, I think probably the ones which can be... I think that this sense of finding a few 5 or 10 minute periods every day where you come back, that can really be, you know, like take the walk after lunch. Okay, every day. The key is doing whatever you do every day. So it becomes more like a ritual. Like right now, if I don't do my knee exercise and do some practice, it feels strange because I've been doing it. That's why you have to make all this a little bit ritual, not to say, oh, I do it sometimes. But you know, if you take a walk after lunch, do it every day. And then it becomes more like not so much effort, right? Because it's just become, okay, this is what I do. You know? So, and then for our practices from the week, I've spoken some about how to bring those into your practice. Again, I would say, see what appeals to you. You may want to, like I say, say, okay, I liked all three of these areas. I want to develop in them. And I'll for the next 3 weeks, I'll focus on one first week, second one second week, and third one third week. But as we saw, they're interconnected, right? When you see what makes awareness of impermanence hard, well, dukkha is a major thing, right? You know, and we saw that especially when we get to anatta or not self, that what gets in the way of just this flow of experience is various forms of dukkha, And then when we're really with that flow, when we don't have much sense of self, it's very much with the flow of impermanence, right? Does that make sense? Am I speaking too quickly, or is it okay? Yeah, okay. So you may want to say, I'm interested in all three, and I'll do one a week. I'll focus on that. And it's also helpful as you do that to keep the one you did going some. You know? And you could do that just, you know, if you just did it in your formal meditation, 10 minutes a day, it would actually be significant. Because what happens when you do that is it starts to go into the rest of the day. I think you know that if you focus on impermanence 10 minutes every day, you'll also start noticing at other times. You'll be with your meal and you say, oh, very nice strawberry. Oh, swallowed it. Oh, gone. Right? Impermanent strawberry. Right? And so what happens with practice, you do your 10 minutes with it, but it actually has an effect. Same with metta. You do 10 minutes of metta, well, you find your heart's more open. So you're with a friend who has difficulty, and, you know, you're there. Right? So this is how practice works. So you may want to do a month of each of them. That's okay. You may really find, oh, I really just like one of them especially. I just want to focus on one. That's okay. Right? I just want to focus on, I really like this teaching of the two arrows, right? I'm really going to study how I can be work with reactivity and not shoot the second arrow. I'm going to focus on that for a while, right? That could be what you think, and that would be fine. So I think it's really to see what has a really connection with your heart, so that you really feel yes, something in you says yes, and then and that's enough. You don't have to do much. Just do, if you just found one thing that something in you said yes, and you continue with that, it would be very successful 2 days. Okay. So just have a few minutes. Any questions or any reflections or comments? Anything you want to ask or anything you want to say?
After a few decades, what's the most significant change for you from this point?
What is the most significant change after a few decades?
For you.
For me. I think more joy. And I think the sense of the practice being there most of the time, almost all the time. So this is like, it's not an idea so much. It's more internal. It's more, and so there's a sense of, you know, what my life is about is awakening. So that just gets stronger. And so it's more like, it's more in my bones. Right? Maybe it starts out as an idea, but then it's just becomes who you are. You know? And also, as I practice more, you know, the mind gets more it gets more trained in a way, or gets more natural. Kind of interesting. I use two words which could be contradiction, right? Trained and natural.
They come together, maybe.
They come together, yeah. So this is, you know, there are paradoxes, you know. There's a lot of paradox. So you train, and what you train is you train to let go of your ordinary mind, which is very conditioned. And you go more into a natural mind, which is basically open heart and clarity. The mind can be very still. After you train for a while, the mind can just be in, you know, 1 second, quiet. You don't need so much time after a while, and the mind can just go, just with one intention, can go to often, not always, but often just can go to a state of open awareness. Just like that. like that. So that's also an effect over time. The level of concentration gets very high and very natural, and there's no effort. It's just automatic. It's just like like anything that you do in life. If you're a musician for 40 years. My mother was a musician. And if you're a musician for 40 years, 50 years, your practice is your performance. It's no different. You're at a pretty high level. And it also feels effortless. So that's there. Yeah, and there also are good days and bad days. Sometimes, but increasingly not so many bad days. As we practice more, and this is where community is important, we also start bringing this more and more into whatever we do for work and our families and the larger society. And something very important, I think, I've written books about this, about the way that we bring all the elements of this practice into the larger world. It very much needs it, And I think there's a lot of potential, to imagine if everyone studies the teaching of the two arrows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Something like that. And how do you, very much applied to many situations. And mm-hmm. But we just keep it going. We bring it in our own ways into the world. So we finish with a traditional practice. It's called dedication of merit. I did it briefly yesterday. And if you'd like, you can put your hands like this. It's not necessary, but this would be the traditional way. And if this is not okay for you or not comfortable, then fine, just to keep your hands in your lap. And dedication of merit is an intention practice. We remember that we cultivate these qualities of wisdom and compassion very much for ourselves and for people in our lives, but that our horizon is large and we remember our connection to all beings. And we offer the benefits of our 2 days of our weekend retreat, we offer the benefit to ourselves, to everyone in this room, and then beyond the boundaries of this Sangha house, we offer the benefits out into the world to all beings. And we always remember that we are part of all beings, so we offer it to all beings, which includes us, for the benefit, for the freedom, for the well-being of all. So, thank you so much, and
thank you.
Yeah, to be continued.
Okay.